Credits appear. Screen Media Films, a Screen Media Film release, a Zellers Pictures production, in association with Vintage Pictures and Verge Pictures. The title, Bokeh. Fluffy white clouds scud across the sky above a deserted straight road, slicing across a barren, rocky landscape. A volcano sits on the distant horizon. A white tourist bus travels down a narrow road flanked on both sides by grey-green moorland. Inside the bus, a bearded brown-haired man in his mid-twenties is dozing. A young woman with white blonde hair rests her head on his shoulder as she sleeps. They're both dressed in casual, waterproof jackets. The young man stirs and his eyes open. He looks out of the window at a rocky outcrop. He brings a Rolleiflex camera out of its case.
Welcome to Iceland. Welcome to Iceland. 30 minutes until we reach the Reykjavik.
The girl who's woken up watches him with a smile as he fiddles with the camera and takes a picture. In Reykjavik, they pick up their luggage and go to their hotel. As they walk down a narrow corridor in the hotel, the man's eyes are drawn to the landscape photographs on the walls. They come into their room and put down their bags. A jet of water and steam bursts out of a geyser. The young couple watch the geyser along with other visitors, the man lining up his next shot. Later, they're in a hot outdoor pool, funnels of steam misting round them. He looks into the lens to catch the moment the jet shoots up. The couple are silhouetted in the mouth of a cave, their faces close.
I know that you used all your savings for this trip. And I really want to help out, so just...
No.
Yeah.
No.
Oh, yeah, you
didn't.
I did.
It's in my mouth.
Later in a cafe.
So you think we're going to be able to find film?
I don't need to. I bought a lot of film before I came out here. Okay.
Why won't you just let me buy you that new camera?
I don't want a computer auto-correcting everything. I want to capture the moment.
You are a stubborn son of a gun.
My dad would talk about capturing the moment, okay? Now, I was never very good at it. Sometimes I kept a little piece of it. It feels good because you're capturing something where everything is great. There's nothing bad. I mean, if there's an imperfection, it's okay. It's not bad.
She listens to him attentively. Then they go for a walk and visit a white-painted church.
This church was built in the 18th century. But men came here long before that, fleeing the tyranny of Haraldr Hárfagri, Harald the fair-haired of Norway. Yeah, but later new settlers brought the word of God to the heathens.
Well, what was life like back then?
Well, it was simple. And the stories were simple. There's the mischievous Egill the One-Handed and the adventures of Ingvar, the far traveler. You heard about Ingvar?
I have not.
No. Okay.
The tourists walk on beneath a high, rocky escarpment.
And this is where early parliament meetings were held.
The young man, whose name is Riley, prepares his camera and pushes his girlfriend Janai to a cave entrance, where she adopts teasing, modish poses, tilting her sunglasses, coyly dropping her red hoodie off her shoulders as he photographs her.
This is Lofven, or Mar Rock.
She hurries out of the cave, giggling with embarrassment.
I think I just defiled the Lagerburger.
You did. You defiled the Rieger Lagerburger.
No.
I thought I was done with churches.
What was your dad's place like?
It was plain. White walls, beige carpet. Felt more like an office building than...
They stand by a stained glass window.
But this...
They walk towards a high waterfall, a path leading them almost close enough to touch the water thundering down past them. Riley looks around him in awe. They walk on hand in hand, smiling. They're silhouetted as they look out at the wall of white spray in front of them. Then they turn to each other and kiss. Riley swings her around in his arms and they look into each other's faces, water dripping from his beard and from her long blonde hair. They kiss again, as their lips come together amid their smiles. The water thunders down behind them. In their hotel room, a Venetian blind is drawn down over the window. Janai, staring under the duvet, raises her head and sees the time on the bedside digital clock, showing that it's 3:24. She sits up and dangles her feet over the side of the bed. She gets up and walks to the window, peering through the slats of the blind. She reaches up and opens the blind. Then she looks out towards the town fronting the tranquil bay. Amid the clouds, there are breaks of brightness in the sky. A burst of dazzling white light erupts from behind the bay, bathing the water with waves of glimmering incandescence. Janai watches as if mesmerized. Her dark eyes shift uneasily as the translucent light is followed by darkness. The picture cuts to black. Riley comes out of the bathroom toweling his hair. Janai is fast asleep.
Baby, wake up. Wake up. Wake up, come on, let's go experience Iceland. It's getting late, I'm hungry. Can get some food?
It's still on U.S. time.
Well, there's only one way out of that. Get up!
He whips the duvet from her.
No.
She follows him down the hotel corridor towards the breakfast room.
It's so bright in here.
He looks at the room and the empty coffee pot on the breakfast counter.
There's supposed to be continental breakfast. You want to do cafe?
Yep.
They wander out of the room towards the reception desk.
Someone's asleep at the wheel.
Pulling on their jackets, Riley leads the way down a square stairwell. They come out into the Reykjavik street, which is completely deserted. Riley crosses the street. Janai, wearing her red hood pulled up, walks a couple of steps behind him.
What time is it?
10:30, I think. Why?
Well, it's empty. Is it like a holiday?
She lowers her hood as she looks around.
I don't know, maybe some event or something?
Like the solstice? That's a celebration, right? The summer solstice? Okay.
They walk on.
Hello?
They pick up their pace as they come into a pedestrian zone.
I mean, wouldn't we have heard of like some sort of an event, like seen a billboard or something? Hello? We need to look inside.
Okay, where?
Yeah, anywhere.
They come to a small supermarket.
Hello?
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 There's nobody.
They hurry out and peer into another window. She tries the door handle, but it's locked. They walk down a street past some park benches.
I called the restaurant from last night and there's no answer.
Riley.
Yeah?
I called my mom.
Yeah?
She didn't answer.
They walk on into a parking area, then down another street. They peer into windows. Trees loom above them. They come down a narrow residential street of houses painted in pastel colors. They come into the place where they had dinner the night before. It's dark, and the chairs are stacked up on the tables.
What the hell is happening?
We walked throughout the city. Where did everybody go?
Like everybody went on a lunch break. Citywide. Is there a coverage on whatever the hell this is? I mean, TV's still working.
As he stares at the various screens, Janai walks off. Fishes in her pocket for her phone and dials a number.
Hey, Mom. It's been a super weird day here, and I just would love to be able to talk to you. So if you could give me a call.
The only channels that aren't working are the news shows.
Riley drops the monitor. He grabs her hand and they go.
Riley, this is starting to freak me out.
I don't get it at all. If it were a plague, where are all the bodies? I mean, if it were aliens, where are the ships? I don't...
There's no emails, no posts, no activity anywhere.
Wait, what do you mean?
They come back to their hotel room and he opens up his laptop. She tries her phone again.
Call me when you get this. I would love to hear your voice.
She checks for any activity on her phone.
No one's picking up. Everyone should be up by now.
Nobody. No text messages, no emails, nothing.
Nothing.
The internet's still working.
No, this is from yesterday. It hasn't been updated since yesterday.
Riley enlarges the static page on his laptop.
What is happening? Nobody's picking up their phones. Voicemail's still working. City's empty. I mean, if it was an internet problem, we wouldn't even be seeing this stuff, right? We need a vantage point. We need a worldview.
He starts to type. A railway station comes up, and then the Vatican City.
What is going on?
No. We're here, baby. There's gotta be other people. There's gotta be somebody, someone.
He picks up his jacket and rucksack and grabs Janai by the hand. In the street, he looks into a parked car.
What the... Hey, hello?
They hurry down an empty shopping street. Riley stops by an unattended Suzuki with an open window.
It's still in drive.
They roar down a street, leaving the town's tall, white-pointed church behind them. There are parked cars everywhere, no sign of life. Riley drives out of the town. They look down at Reykjavik from a distant hill.
Is something happening?
What do you mean?
Is this it? Is this the rapture?
You mean like the apocalypse?
The end of times.
Try your mother again.
They come to a cluster of houses and past a white house with a white picket fence. Riley walks on ahead, Janai trudging behind him, beneath the dazzling noon sun. They stand holding each other. They drive along a winding, dark, grey, volcanic road near to a placid expanse of water. Janai's face is pressed against the car window.
Hi, you've reached Aaron's cell phone. I'm not available to take your call right now, but if you'd like...
Voicemail.
Janai rests her head on Riley's shoulder.
I want to say that everybody just went to the east side of the island. I want to say that your mom just went shopping and she forgot her phone at home. The same as your dad and Amy and everybody else. I want to say this is the second coming. I want to say this is the longest nightmare that I have ever had. But I don't know what happened. At least...
They're sitting on a red leather banquette seat in a diner with a wall of black and white photographs behind them. Riley tilts his head towards hers. They return to their room, and Janai falls back on the bed. Riley sits down by the window.
Can you please close the blinds?
Where did you all go?
I want to go to sleep. I'm exhausted, and the sun won't quit, so can you please close the blinds?
Yeah, babe.
The picture snaps to black. Next day, Riley, already dressed, shakes Janai to wake her.
Come on, baby, it's time to wake up.
Not yet.
She gotta eat something, I mean... Let's go and make some breakfast.
No.
He gets up and goes to the door. The picture snaps to black. Janai tries to log onto her emails. Riley sits on a chair, holding a rolled-up towel.
How are we going to get home? How are we getting off this island?
I don't know yet.
I mean, do you think we were selected? That we should be preparing for something?
No. Baby, we're not selected, okay? This is not divine intervention. I don't know. I don't know if this is an epidemic. I don't know if it's some sort of Nordic relocation program. I don't know why we're here and everybody else isn't. I don't know. But I do know that doesn't matter. What matters, what we should be asking ourselves, is what do we do about it? Like, what do we do now?
I just want to get home.
I know.
If there's even a home to get back to.
The picture snaps to black. In the diner, Riley wanders behind the bar. He finds a bottle and puts it on the counter. He takes two paper cups and fills them with water. He returns to the room, laden with brown paper bags.
Baby, guess what?
He hands Janai a paper cup.
There's still room service and it's just for you.
She sits up in bed.
Gingerbread latte.
She takes a sip and pulls a face. He smiles indulgently.
Is it that bad?
Just a little too much gingerbread.
Mm. No, I did it.
Thank you.
She snuggles up to him. Outside, a bird flutters by a town fountain. Janai walks morosely down the aisles of the supermarket, holding an apple. She reaches for a coffee jar. Riley comes past, dragging two loaded shopping trolleys behind him.
Gotta do better than that.
He comes through the doors of the supermarket with the two trolleys packed to the hilt, Janai behind him, pushing another. Riley almost lets one of the items drop on the floor.
I'll be right back.
Janai grabs one of the trolleys before it slides away. As she scrolls through her phone, Riley pulls up in a larger vehicle. He stops the black SUV outside the hotel. Janai pulls up behind him in the red Suzuki.
This isn't all gonna fit in the fridge.
I know, I've been thinking about that. Sit tight.
He runs into the hotel and reappears carrying their two bags.
It's time to upgrade, baby.
Upgrade what?
He gets back into the black SUV. They stand in front of a three-story modern dwelling and go inside.
Hello?
You didn't even knock.
Yeah, well, we don't need to because this is our place now, baby.
He glances at a laid table.
That's nice.
He throws himself down on the stylish L-shaped sofa. Janai runs her hand up a wall.
Just like that?
Just like that.
In a clothing store, Riley peruses the catalogue.
Why are the lights still on?
The geothermal plants, they're all automated here, so they'll just keep the country running for a little while.
Until it breaks down?
Well, yeah, but until then, the world just keeps on turning.
He flips the catalogue in his hands.
You done yet?
Janai draws back the curtain of a changing cubicle.
Which color?
Yes.
He tosses an armful of clothes at her.
Why am I hanging these bags up?
They try on woolly hats, and she puts on a Scandinavian-style cardigan. They spar with each other.
You're like a Mexican ninja. What are you doing?
Oh, no.
They wander around the China department, then come out into the dark street laden with shopping bags. In the bar, they clink shot glasses.
Minnie. Don't puke! You're gonna puke!
Janai lies on the floor.
Spazador. What is it? Saying? Furtifag? Furtifag? What is this word language? Borg. I just burped.
Borg Duke, Kronos 1,000. Give me 1,000 Kronos. I won a beauty contest. Makes sense. You wanted to be the banker. That's 20,000.
Thank you.
Okay. Okay.
What is
Sidiluminum?
Bullshit! This is mine! You're taking the whole... This is a death strip! And I'm supposed to be able to get through? You're gonna take all... Here, it's yours. I'm not... Man, I'm a great... Who's... Strip-popoly makes... It doesn't make sense!
He walks off in just a white t-shirt, his legs and bottom bare. In a dressing gown, he carries two cups and saucers.
This took only 35 minutes. It is a new world record for me.
Thank you.
First lattes, and then the world.
Do you think this is a test?
Test of what?
Like the trials of Job.
Like a test of fate? I mean, you believe in God, right?
Yes.
And do you think that all of this, everything that has happened, is all a part of God's plan?
Well, belief and faith aren't the same thing. I don't know what God's plan is.
Well, that's kind of the point, isn't it?
They regard each other across the diner table.
What are we gonna do?
I mean, maybe everybody really did go to the other side of the island, okay? Maybe the main communication pipe failed. Maybe this will all pass. And in the meantime, baby, this world is ours for the making.
An aerial view of a fast-moving stream. A white cloth tied to a length of barbed wire flutters in the wind. Her long blonde hair flowing behind her, Janai glances over her shoulder as she walks, taking in the landscape around her. Dressed in a pale blue loose blouse over a simple white cotton dress, she walks on along a road, with a bunch of wilted-looking flowers in one hand, her feet encased in black canvas flats. She walks along a white line in the middle of the road. The black SUV drives towards her and stops. Riley holds out his hand, and Janai takes it. Sitting in the passenger seat, she rests her feet crossed at the ankles on the edge of the open window next to her. With a grin, she lets one of her canvas shoes drop off, and then the other. Riley pulls up near to a small stone cottage in front of the entrance to a cave. The cottage has a sharply sloping roof covered in grass. They both get out. From the back seat, Riley brings out a rolled-up rug with a strong black and white geometric pattern and his backpack. They set off towards the cottage. Janai's blonde hair blows in the wind as he lays out the rug and sits down on it with his camera. She reaches for the camera, and as they lie on their backs, she takes a selfie of them both. She kisses him on the cheek and puts the camera down and snuggles up to him. She glances around and gets to her feet. He turns onto his side, and she pokes him with her bare foot.
Ruining my nap time.
Oh, am I?
She removes her blouse and throws it at him.
You go on and take your nap.
She goes off for a walk, her bare feet treading on grass, dotted with delicate yellow flowers. The rocky moorland winds its way into the distance. Her black bra strap sits side by side with her thin cream camisole straps. Riley, dressed all in black, follows her, taking pictures. walk alongside the babbling stream. A few paces ahead of him, Janai pulls her white dress up over her head, revealing her bra and panties. Riley puts down his backpack and hurries after her as she steps naked into a pool at the base of a steep hill. He pulls off his black t-shirt. With her back to him, she sinks down under the water. He runs up, eagerly undoing his trousers. She comes up from the water, her long blonde hair smooth as silk. She turns her head as he moves towards her. And they melt into each other's arms, kissing softly. Nibbles her neck and her shoulders and lifts her up out of the water. She drops down so that they're both submerged up to their shoulders as they go on kissing. The water behind them fades into blackness. Janai wakes up, a lock of her white blonde hair fluttering across her eye. A strong breeze blows through the grey-green grass around her. She lets her open eye drift as she lies on the heavy rug in Riley's arms and covered by a wool blanket. She sits up. From the backpack, she digs out the thick woolen cardigan that she chose in the shop and she pulls it on her naked body. Next to her, Riley stirs and wakes. She sits with her back to him as she zips up the cardigan. Then she stands up. Her long, slender thighs pick their way across the grass. Behind her, Riley sits up and watches her go. She moves through a vast field of blue Nootka lupins, her hands brushing against the petals and stems of the tall flowers. The weak sun shines on her pale blonde hair as she slowly drifts through the long-stemmed lupins. Riley, bare-chested, follows her at a distance, his head dipped as he looks down into the viewfinder of his camera, which he holds at below waist height. She turns to look at him. In the viewfinder, she's as pale as a ghost. In the field, she looks back at Riley with an inscrutable expression. As Riley drives them back towards the town, Janai is fast asleep next to him. They return to the supermarket, where she sniffs a red apple. And Riley sails past her, riding a shopping trolley on his front.
Janai, you gotta try this!
He rides between the aisles like a delinquent boy.
Janai, where are you?
She jabs at some cereal packets, like a boxer. Trying to ride and juggle, Riley loses control of the trolley. In the hotel room, Janai combs her long blonde hair. He tosses a black suit and a white shirt onto the bed. She applies blusher to her cheeks. He tries to fix his tie. She applies bright red lipstick, rubbing it in with her middle finger. She stares at the dark circles under her eyes. Riley brings a bottle of Italian wine to a candlelit table.
Just because this place fell off the geothermal grid doesn't mean we can't utilize the romantic ambiance, you know?
This is nice.
Yeah, it is.
He pulls from the bottle that is encased in a straw basket.
Some cheese.
Okay. He raises his glass. The table wobbles.
We need to talk about this.
Riley?
A flashback to blood on the supermarket floor.
Why are you laughing?
You need to be more careful, please.
This was an accident. How am I supposed to stop an accident from happening?
You could have broken a bone. Or worse, hit an artery.
And you don't think we could have avoided that accident?
We're not going to stop living our lives just because you think something might happen.
Excuse me?
We're not going to stop living our lives just because...
Okay, it is not about that. What if something were to happen to you? There is no 911. There is no one.
You're freaking out right now. Can you just relax and enjoy this?
She gets up from the table and stands with her back to him. A flashback to the supermarket.
I'm fine. It's just a scratch. We can't just childproof this whole city.
We can't be jackasses either.
In the supermarket, he gets to his feet and offers his hand to help her up.
Out here, we're on our own.
She leaves the bistro. He walks down a twilight street, trailing a bunch of white flowers. Lights are on in a number of the shop windows. Time passes as he walks up a sloping street, still wearing his smart black suit.
I should be in the shower.
He finds Janai in the hotel room, lying on her back on the bed, her head hanging over the edge of the bed.
It's 6 o'clock back home. On Wednesdays, I'm just getting back from the gym and I take a shower.
She's wearing the Icelandic cardigan.
Look, I'm not going to goof off anymore, okay? I'm going to be more careful, I promise. From now on.
I should have brought it. We were only supposed to be gone 5 days.
When did you forget?
My book, To Kill a Mockingbird. I just didn't think that I would need it.
Well, I'm sure that there's an English copy of it somewhere.
No, I don't want a copy. I want my copy.
It wasn't a journal. It was, I guess, more of a log. Everything important that happened, or, you know, little memories, I'd write everything in there.
He puts the flowers on the floor and sits down facing the end of the bed.
Why kill a mockingbird?
My dad got it for me. A story about racism, lynching, rape. Great bedtime story for an 8-year-old. For whatever reason, I hung on to it. I connected with it. You're in there.
I'm in your book.
The first time I said I love you. Well, before I said it to you, I wrote it in there.
I look around. I see a beautiful country. I see land, springs, houses. And there's you and me. We have everything we need. And everything else we could build. Just you and I together.
We can't build everything.
Well, we don't need to. The hard work's been done for us. We just need to stock up a little bit, that's all.
She looks at him doubtfully.
We have the world at our feet.
I just want to go home. I just want my book back.
They walk into a large, empty, modern shopping mall with a moving escalator. A neon sign identifies a juice bar. They walk past all the food outlets. Then they cross a sculpture park, Riley taking pictures as he walks. They walk on towards a narrow street lined with cars. A ferry boat is moored in the harbour. Trees sway in the wind. In their adoptive kitchen, Riley takes a yogurt pot out of a fridge. Janai turns on the tap, but there's no water.
Damn it.
She turns to face him.
What are you eating? That's the blueberry one. The blueberry ones aren't ready yet.
He dips his finger into the pot.
Tastes ready.
She rummages in her bag.
The strawberry ones expire first.
Well, I wanted a blueberry one.
We agreed to eat them in order.
It's like 3 days different.
That's not the point.
What is the point?
The point is we're not going to have fruits and vegetables. And then the meat goes, if the refrigeration is still even working.
Look, we can plant more vegetables. I can get more meat.
No, that's good. And so what are you going to do? Go be Johnny Hunter, get a shotgun and shoot a cow in the head? And then what? Do you really think you're capable of that?
Do you think I am?
She looks away.
Just eat the food in order.
He pushes away the blueberry yogurt pot. They come to a municipal swimming bath with a water slide. Riley's head pops out of the water. He wades through the water and then sits up on a circular rim in the middle of the pool. He shakes some water from his ear, then sinks down to the bottom of the pool, holding his breath as he looks around, his legs bent at the knees. Elsewhere, Janai passes a churchyard. Then, in the grounds, she walks up to a female statue, which has a cross engraved on her back and front.
Nice, mark. Take an Ash Wednesday to the next level, huh?
She looks up at the tall, grey stone church tower, and then addresses the statue.
Can I ask you something? This whole thing, this disappearing act, was this your guy? Because I can't figure it out. Maybe it was my guy. Maybe those chosen few are back home, roasting marshmallows or whatever.
Janai stares at the statue, whose bald head is bowed in a gesture of contemplation. Janai comes to stand in front of her.
Why does this happen when I'm here? Stuck in no man's land. Maybe our guys are the same guys. You ever think about that? Maybe that's why I'm stuck in no man's land.
From a distance, they look like two women engaged in casual conversation. In an untidy townscape, white flags flutter aimlessly. A crane stands abandoned. A deserted street. Steam funnels out of the earth near the seashore. Mud bubbles beneath low rocks. A rickety wooden walkway bears witness to previous human activity. Riley and Janai, wearing jackets, walk through the desolate terrain. Janai has a scarf wrapped around her neck.
Do you wonder where we are?
Their voices belong to a further place on their expedition. As they walk, neither of them speaks.
Yeah.
They climb up a rocky slope. Janai looks around at Riley.
Do you hear that?
What?
It's the heartbeat of the world. you see it?
They stand on a shore looking out at two jagged outcrops rising up from the seabed. They examine rock formations, Riley inside a cave, and Janai outside. They walk on over low-lying rocks near the seashore. On the shingly beach, Janai kicks out at him, and he picks her up and carries her closer to the breaking waves. She wriggles out of his arms and runs up the beach, smiling. He juggles with some pebbles.
They say that there are these two trolls. They're trying to stop the incoming ships of the New World.
They dash into the waves, then run along the dark volcanic beach.
They grab and they pull.
They climb up a wall of tall, rectangular stone slabs.
But the ships were too strong. And the sun rose and turned the trolls to stone. And it left these petrified markers as a kind of gateway between the ancient ways and the new world. It's like they're waiting for us to bring in everything that was clean and good and fresh. I always liked that.
They're leaning against some of the markers in the midst of them.
We're out of water.
I know.
They drive across the dark volcanic landscape. They plow through a shallow pool and Riley turns on the wipers. They drive up to the wreck of a decades-old civilian aircraft, half embedded in the ground. Janai gets out of the vehicle. They wander over to the wreckage.
It's from the 70s.
What's it doing here?
It's just abandoned, I guess. You see it on the side?
Riley points to faded letters on the side of the plane.
What, they just left it?
I guess so. It's beautiful, though, don't you think?
Janai crouches down and looks at the earth beneath her feet.
I don't think we're looking at the same thing.
What do you mean?
Another forsaken object that's outlived its usefulness?
It's just an airplane.
Exactly, it's garbage. Don't try and tell me that it's beautiful. This is dead! Can't you see what this is?
No, go ahead, enlighten me. What is
it? No one's coming back for us! No one!
I thought you'd like this.
This isn't some sort of game.
Goddamn, I know it's not a game!
Well, you can't just change the scenery and expect me to smile!
What am I supposed to do?
Janai turns away and walks back to the SUV, leaving Riley looking helpless.
Open your eyes, Riley.
Janai reverses a few yards and then drives off. Riley wanders across the desolate ground, looking up at the sky of endless gray cloud. In the SUV, Janai is curled up in the passenger seat, huddled in her red hoodie. The aeroplane carcass is a ghostly presence in the vast, empty plane. There are small holes in the wall of its fuselage. Riley is sleeping inside the burnt-out passenger cabin, wrapped in the rug with a geometric pattern. The cockpit and engines of the plane have gone, as if they'd been ripped away. Janai climbs into the plane and sits down with her knees drawn up, facing Riley. The view through one of the doorless openings in the fuselage is of a wide expanse of grey nothingness, dark volcanic earth dotted with white stones. Riley stirs and looks around him, pulling down his hood. He sits up and sees Janai standing outside the wreckage with her back to him. He climbs out of the plane wrapped in the rug and walks over to her. She turns to him with her hand outstretched. Then she turns again to look out towards the horizon, where the pale gray sky meets the dark, rocky earth. They drive on together. The weak sun outlines a clump of low-growing pointed flowers, gently swaying in the breeze. In the town, Riley wanders down a street passing two huge long-lashed eyes painted on a wall of graffiti. He takes photographs. One panel depicts a pale young woman in a red hooded coat standing outside a small cottage. He takes a picture, then is drawn to her gaunt, haunted, monk-like face. He walks on through the abandoned streets, examining a drawing of a mushroom cloud. He looks above him at the tall white residential buildings towering over him. Furniture and debris are piled up at the foot of a winding fire escape. On a wall, a man's face, painted in white, peers out of a black background. In curly white handwriting, the name Stefan is scrawled to the left of the handsome face. Streaks of white paint drip down over his cheeks like torrential rain. The man's black eyes stare out from beneath dark eyebrows. Looking up from his camera lens, Riley stares at the intense black eyes that almost seem to be mirroring his own eyes. Riley turns to go, pulling the exposed film out of the camera and tossing it to the ground. As daylight starts to fade, lights come on in the diner and a traffic light hops from green to amber to red. In the apartment, Janai is looking through her message box. Riley pushes an empty shopping trolley down a long aisle in the supermarket. He twirls the trolley around. Bent over her laptop, Janai is trying to call out. In the hardware section of the store, Riley finds some plastic tubing. Then he pushes the trolley, loaded up with 8 pieces of tubing, down the deserted aisle. Janai walks down the aisle of a church. Without the trolley, Riley strolls along the marble-floored shopping mall, past a row of shuttered shops. He comes to a lift. He pushes the button for the third floor and pulls on his backpack, adjusting the straps. The doors close. The doors open, and he hurries off, visibly relieved. In the church, Janai is on her knees, her breathing heavy, her eyes glistening. Riley comes back to the apartment with a small bag of shopping and a bottle of water. He looks to see if Janai is there. Outside, the wind dances across a meadow of pale yellow poppies.
Janai?
Janai is walking on the grassy moorland in the wind. A horse with a white stripe on its forehead watches her. Behind it, there's a cluster of houses. Janai strokes a pony and feeds it a carrot. Riley carries 2 lengths of guttering and drops them on the ground outside their apartment building. Janai rides the pony that has a long, sandy-colored fringe. She lays her head on its back and strokes its shoulder. With a look of concentration, Riley lines up a piece of chipboard. Janai strokes the pony, her expression melancholy. Riley measures the piece of chipboard. Janai gazes at the herd of brown, white, and gray ponies moving slowly across the plain in front of her. Riley has constructed a mill wheel fitted with plastic cups. Janai seems at ease with the ponies milling around her. The apartment remains empty. Dark grey clouds move across the sky, passing behind an electricity pylon. In the SUV, Janai scrolls through her phone. A shot of black volcanic soil. Janai puts in her earpiece. Feet run across the ground. She drives. A low-lying glacier is sprinkled with snow.
Hey, just wanted to talk for a little bit. Chris being a jerk and not around to some show, so I get to sit here and be angry. I guess you can't pick up. I know it's however many hours later there. Okay, I miss you.
She drives past a notice advertising Glacier Walk ice climbing. Riley wakes up and looks across at Janai behind the wheel.
Where are we at? What are we doing?
Nothing. Go back to sleep.
They're driving through a mountainous area, and Janai is listening to her messages.
Hi. Just so we're clear, her boyfriend took me to Europe. My boyfriend is hungover, so keep having fun out there. For the both of us. Love you.
Intercut with the drive, Janai, with her white blonde hair streaming behind her, runs across the rocky ground.
Hey, I must have just missed you. Well, I wanted to tell you that I just bought the ticket, so Iceland is a go. And, I'll see you at dinner. I love you.
Both of them are running, scrambling over the rocks. Janai is leading the way. Riley unfastens his backpack and brings out his camera.
If you keep taking pictures, you still don't have a place to develop them.
I will.
He takes one of her, then turns to look at the vast snowy vista beneath them, stretching across his full line of vision. Janai stands with her back to him, looking the other way. She sits down on a rock, and he joins her. She grabs his arm and snuggles up to him. Then she laughs.
What?
You're sitting on a glacier. This is the equalizer. Force of nature that wipes the earth clean.
What's so funny about that?
Maybe God got impatient.
I can't tell you what's happening tonight. I've been trying to figure it out, and I don't...
He puts down his camera.
I'm not giving up on you. I'm not giving up on us.
I know.
She looks away from him.
Do you hear that?
She gets up to take a look at a distant waterfall cascading down a cliffside. In the town, paper litter dances along a pavement in the breeze. Janai goes to a photographic shop. An old cat wanders across the pavement nearby. Riley and Janai walk up a street. Then Janai veers off towards a home furnishing shop.
Might be kind of fun to change up the place a bit.
With a faint smile, she crosses a street and walks into a florist's.
Wait a second. Oh, God.
The air in the shop is fetid, and all the plants and flowers on display are dead. Dry petals and leaves litter the floor.
My God, there's nothing left.
So, exactly. There's no need to be here. Let's go, please.
Just turn around.
Janai touches a lifeless flower, and the petals crumble in her fingers.
Find someone else.
Janai looks mournful. Later, they drive along a winding road with neat white markings.
This is what we needed. Just a change of scenery. I mean, the city's no place for us right now. We're pioneers here. We don't need all those complications. Man has been happy for thousands of years without all that stuff. Just come out here where the air is fresh. Everything's simple.
Simple.
Of course, that means no more gingerbread lattes.
I'll survive.
They cross a road bridge above a fast-moving stream.
We got enough food for the weekend. It's gonna be a nice little getaway.
Riley pulls up. Janai stays where she is.
Let's find a spot.
Riley opens up the back of the SUV and carries out their bags. Janai walks through a wooden gate. He follows her down a woodland pathway towards a lake beyond. They come upon a lakeside cabin.
Beautiful.
They walk into the glass-fronted dwelling.
Some wood.
They come to a covered balcony and he points to the lake view.
I mean, you can't beat that.
He climbs down the entrance steps. He sees an old man dropping the logs he's carrying.
Sir? Sir? Sir, are you okay? Are you okay?
Yes, sir. The road.
Do you speak English?
We have some water.
Yes, of course. Can you get him water, please?
Yeah.
My name is Riley.
My name is Nils. Do you have any food?
Of course. We have plenty of food. How long have you been here?
Oh. Thank you.
The silver-haired man takes the water flask from Janai and gulps down the contents, letting some of the water splash down the front of his patterned sweater.
How long have you been here?
His knees give way.
Okay. You're all right. You're all right.
Riley wraps Neil's arm over his shoulder.
All right. Let's get some food.
Here, come sit.
They help the old man into an armchair, and Riley digs out some food from the backpack. As Nils chews on the food, Riley lets out a squeal of excitement.
We thought we were alone.
So, there is no one else. You found no one.
Just you? Are you alone here?
When everyone disappeared, I left the city. thought if the world is going to end, I will come here. Well, shortly I'll join them.
But were you in Iceland when it happened?
Is this your place?
This is my cabin. Where in previous life I was a fisherman.
What have you been doing?
I made my bed.
Well, you don't have to join your family just yet. I mean, we're here. We can stick together, we can survive. Can I get a moment?
Here, drink this.
Janai hands Niels the water flask.
I'm just so glad that I found you.
She clasps his hand in hers.
I thought God abandoned us.
They say that God's one and only voice is silence. He just must have more to say these days.
He wraps his free hand over Janai's hand.
Well, it's still good to know that we're not alone.
We are indeed alone. Each of us. You and I.
Well, Jesus Christ, I mean, it's not very helpful, right? There's three of us now.
There's one and one and one. We each occupy our own distinct space. Each of us alone on the sea.
I don't get why. It doesn't make any sense. Why are you so determined to give up?
Later, Riley's asleep on the floor. Janai is sitting up next to him, her pale face glowing in the firelight.
What brought you here?
We're on vacation. My first time overseas.
I've been here all my life.
Niels sits down in the armchair behind her.
I spent time in the Isles years ago. But the sun has always set on the western shore for me.
He holds a painted gourd in his hands.
I miss my family.
Niels looks up at her still and melancholy profile.
The Welsh have a word. Hirad. Grieve for a home you cannot return. When I was a young man, I left my wife and my young son to make my living. I was on the seas for months. When I returned, nothing was the same. My son was a young lad, and my wife was not the woman I had left. I sat in my own home and did not belong.
She left you.
She didn't need to. She was already absent. But soon I spent more and more time on the sea.
There was nothing you could do. How is that fair?
The world is the world. You cannot fault it for not behaving as you believe it should.
So you don't believe that we've been led here to find each other?
We do not factor in the will of God. His plan for us is to exist in the world he has created for us and not to exist in his world.
If that's true, then we really are on our own.
There's another meaning of Hireth. longing for a foregone home. Perhaps a home that never was.
And none of it matters. Even if God exists, he's forsaken us.
You human, go forth. In the end, the question of whether God exists is inconsequential. If there is a design, we are foregone to fit within it. And if there is no design, we are alone in our keep, and no grand hand will hold us.
He puts aside the paintbrush which he was using to paint the gourd. Janai looks crestfallen. Outside, all is still. The cabin with its corrugated roof overlooking the lake. Janai is asleep on the sofa. Riley bends down to her and kisses her on the cheek.
It's time to wake up.
Do you want me to make you guys some tea?
She sits up and looks behind her. She goes to the door of Neil's bedroom and sees him curled up under his blanket, his body turned to the wall.
There's a cemetery down by the lake. I already picked a spot for him.
Riley and Janai go to the lakeside. Janai looks at him reprovingly.
What are we doing?
Riley is bent over the hole he's digging next to some wooden crosses.
We're burying him with his family.
Is this his family? Have they missed him? Will they welcome him now?
No, you're not making any sense. Talk to me. I don't know what you're talking about.
What's the point in burying him? Laying here 6 feet under, what's the difference?
Because this is what we do. We bury the dead.
None of this makes any sense.
What doesn't make any sense?
Why was he here?
I don't know.
There has to be someone else. Another old man or a woman or a child that may need our help.
It's been weeks. We haven't seen anybody.
But have we really been looking?
Please help me.
It can't just be us.
Janai throws rolls of masking tape into her bag in the store and pulls the bag onto her back. Riley fills up a plastic jerry can with petrol. He drives away from the petrol pump. Janai lays out a tourist map of the island onto the bonnet of the Suzuki and marks it up. Then she drives off.
Hello?
She sticks masking tape to a wooden front door. Carrying the roll of red tape, she approaches another house. Riley watches her approach.
You've been busy.
Here.
She thrusts the tape into his hand and walks on.
What are you doing?
There's someone out there. We need to find them.
You're not looking for the living. You're marking the dead.
Will you just come home? Maybe we can work on this together.
There's no home here. You, me, Nils, that's it.
You don't know. We could be a statistical anomaly. Maybe we could be the world's last rounding error. All right? You're looking for answers where there aren't any
answers. You're damn right I'm looking for answers. You have this insane situation. And what, do you think it's some celestial mistake?
I'm not saying that it's a mistake. I'm just saying, does it really matter? Is this going to change the way that you live your life? Does it have to? Is this going to change who you are?
None of this makes any sense.
No. It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't matter. We could still live a good life.
He looks at her expectantly.
I don't even know what that is anymore.
She walks off past him, barely looking at him. Riley's windmill starts to turn. In the apartment, Janai is sitting at her laptop. Wind whistles through trees in the town. Out on the moorland, the blue and white lupins flutter gently. The tall, jagged rocks off the shore seem ghostly as they rise up from the stormy sea in a cloud of foam. Low-lying cloud blankets the top of an undulating green slope, a rushing stream, a narrow crevasse between rocks. Riley and Janai tread carefully across a stream. Riley runs on ahead and gestures for Janai to wait. Then he takes her hands and, walking backwards, leads her over the slippery stones.
Keep your eyes on me, okay?
He uncovers her eyes and she sees a snow-white cascade in the distance.
It's beautiful.
He takes a few steps forward and then turns to her.
Do you remember the glacier you took me to? Do you remember the water? This is that water. When the ice melts, it cuts through the base and it creates this river. The glacier slides a little further, it refreezes, it's just this constant cycle. Life is resetting, it's reinventing. Janai, it's trying. Okay? I mean, this place is beautiful because of all of that. There is no tomorrow here, there is no yesterday, there is just this moment right here. I am trying.
She draws him to her, and they kiss on the lips. As they hold each other tightly, she squeezes the fabric of his jacket in her hands. In the apartment, there are a few beans left in the chipped china bowl.
This is the last of the water, so I'll have to eat some more tomorrow.
She touches his arm and looks at him softly.
I want to thank you for today.
Yeah. I'm going to be okay.
She allows herself a half smile. Later, she stands at the sink doing the washing up in a bowl. She pushes in a dining room chair. In the soft focus that is known as bokeh, she stands in a doorway directing her gaze at her laptop. She comes into focus as she sits down, facing the screen. A received message icon bounces up and down on her toolbar. She glances around, catching her breath. Then she clicks on the bouncing icon. It's a photograph of a curved tail of light in the sky above the Icelandic landscape. Beneath it, Riley has typed, "The winter sky we can look forward to. Riley." Her face falls as she stares at the screen. She sits back in the chair with a look of hopelessness. She sits motionless in the uncluttered, cleanly furnished room, staring out through the plate glass window at the silent world outside. The picture slowly fades to black. Riley comes down the hall, putting on a clean white V-neck t-shirt over his dark jeans. He wanders into the main room.
Morning.
And finds a large white envelope on the dining table. His name written in large capital letters on the front. He switches on an electrical apparatus. Then, putting the envelope on the counter, he attaches a hose from the apparatus to the downpipe under the sink. Holding the envelope in one hand, he switches on an electrical unit in the utility cupboard with his other hand, and then attaches a hose to the downpipe under the sink. He turns on the tap and waits for the mechanism to work. Hassan brings a smile to his face and he reaches for the envelope. He brings out a set of printed photographs. With a broad smile, he examines the blow-ups of Janai, pouting in sunglasses, laughing with her hair loose, which he lingers over. Then one with a sad face, the color almost completely washed out. His smile vanishes as he looks at the next one, with Janai almost at the edge of the picture, staring at him with dark, reproachful eyes. Glancing down through the kitchen window, he spots Janai's red coat hanging on the climbing frame, on the grass below. He runs out towards the coat hanging limply on the climbing frame. He looks through the other black and white photographs. One of them, of Janai in the Icelandic cardigan, eyeing him with a look of distrust and misgiving. He drops the photographs and runs. As he roars away in the black SUV, the blades of his homemade wind generator start to turn. He drives along one of the residential streets of low-rise dwellings, eyeing each doorway. Water starts to pump from the windmill. Riley dashes down to the beach, catching his breath in despair. In the town, water starts to overflow a bucket. He pulls up outside the tall white church. Water trickles along the guttering of his contraption. The SUV weaves across the road as he roars out into the wilderness. He pulls up near the old stone cottage at the mouth of the cave. As he hurries past the parked red SUV, the pumping generator starts to shake. Riley runs alongside the stream, and in the kitchen, hot water pours out of the tap. Hurtling up a slope, Riley passes Janai's discarded boots. One of the photographs left behind is sprayed by the hot steam. Riley arrives at the pool. He lurches towards Janai's floating body. He picks her up in his arms and wades through the water. He lays her down on the concrete edge of the pool. He draws himself up out of the water and presses his face against her cold, lifeless cheek. He sits with shoulders hunched, his head bent, with Janai laid out next to him in her flimsy white slip, one hand dangling lifelessly in the water. Riley's chest heaves up and down. With a look of acceptance, he sits up and drops into the murky water like a stone. At the bottom of the pool, he looks up towards the surface. Bubbles rise up from the water. The surface stills. Riley bursts out of the water. He swims towards the side of the pool, towards Janai's body, and hauls himself up, clinging to the edge with his hands. He pulls himself up and drags his legs over the whitewashed edge of the pool. He staggers to his feet and picks up Janai's limp body in his arms. His knees buckle and he sinks down, laying her on the grass, curling his body around her. He rolls onto his knees and nuzzles his face against her lifeless cheek. He runs his hand down her face and back, almost as a parting gesture. Then he gets to his feet, his white t-shirt smeared with mud. He staggers alongside the stream. He trips on a rock, but recovers himself. An electric cable attached to a post defocuses. The stone cottage is seen as a blur. Then a blurred rocky headland in front of him slowly comes into sharp focus. Walking more sure-footedly, Riley tramps across a puddle and then on towards the parked black SUV. He gets behind the wheel and slowly pulls out. He lets go of the steering wheel and runs his hands through his hair. He stares out of the windscreen, and deep, rasping breaths emanate from his mouth. Slumped behind the wheel, Riley's dark ringed eyes stare blankly ahead as the vehicle drives on, almost as if it were moving by itself. His eyes suddenly flicker from side to side, and he sits up, as if becoming aware of his surroundings. Credits appear, written and directed by Jeffrey Ortwine and Andrew Sullivan. Micah Monroe, Matt O'Leary, produced by Doug Dalton, Kent Genslinger, Brienne Lermit. Co-producers Lynn Johannesdottir, Birgitte Bornsdottir. Co-producers Joe Schott, Liana Lehua, Christina Jennings, Harry Halloran Jr. Executive producers Andrew Sullivan, Dirk Junger. Director of photography Joe Lindsay. Production designer Roger C. Ambrose. Editor Jeffrey Ortwine. Music by Keegan DeWitt. Casting director Emily Schwaber, CSA. Riley sits back and runs his long fingers down his face. The cast: Janai, Micah Monroe. Riley, Matt O'Leary. Niels, Anna Jonsson. Ivar, Gunnar Helveson. Tour guide, Berglindros Siguladottir. Riley cups his beard with both hands, and the car drives on by itself, keeping in a straight line. It drives over a bump. with his hands clasped together, almost as if in prayer. Riley stares through the windscreen, thoughts milling around in his mind. Riley clamps his hand on the wheel and starts to steer.